Let's quickly kick into our message for this afternoon, and let's learn some things about the work of Jesus. That's what we began to speak about last time. I titled it, The Work of Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? I want us to understand, every day you see things, and it's so important, of course, for us to help people, you know, correct them, and let them understand how God planned for their lives to be. The one that's very popular these days, people are always looking for deliverance. You know, I talk about it all the time. I want people to be established in the truth. They're always looking for how they will be delivered from problems that actually the Lord Jesus had already delivered them from. And that's what I want to do this series again, for people to understand that. What is the path of true deliverance? The fact is that Jesus said that if you, if we're talking to those who have believed, he said what you will do is to abide in me or continue in my teachings. And then you will prove yourselves to be disciples indeed. And if you are disciples indeed, you will make discoveries of the truth, and those discoveries will set you free. That deliverance comes from what you have discovered. I talked about that last time. Deliverance does not come from the amount of prayers you prayed. Deliverance comes from what you have discovered. Discovery, of course, in this context, is the discovery of the truth of the Word of God. And we are looking at the things that we are supposed to discover from the Word of God. I'm talking about the work of Jesus, or the works of Jesus. Jesus came to come and do what for us? We're going to read a few scriptures. You know, last time I began to talk about the fact that this earth is a manifestation. How do I say it again now? It's a stage where spiritual things are demonstrated. Are you getting my point? That evil existed before Adam came into existence. But God, knowing that he's going to put a final, solution, bring forth a final solution, allowed Adam to fall, even though he knew Adam would fall. People often wonder, if you knew he was going to fall, why did you still create him? You must understand that what God is trying to solve is beyond just these few thousands of years. It's an eternal problem that he's trying to put an end to. I said to you the other time that when Eve was tempted, Eve was not tempted by a snake. It's not possible, all right? That's just not what happened. The Bible didn't even try to imply that that's what happened. It's the way we just read it. Look at the snake. A snake won't come to you, be talking, and you'll be listening. Eve was not stupid. Why do you have the impression that Eve was a stupid woman? She was not. She was a normal person. What happened was that the Lord used to come. I believe this is my personal conviction. I've thought about it. The Lord used to come, we saw, into the garden, the cool of the evening, to come and relate with them. And that gives me an impression that the angels also used to come with him. You will see that God put guards at the gate of the garden, and these were cherubims. And you see that Adam saw it, and Eve saw it, and they knew that don't go near that area. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Yes, they saw those things. So the Lord used to come and they heard the footsteps, all right? Not the breeze. They heard the footsteps of the Lord when he was coming to the garden, and they went to hide. That means they used to see him physically. Please, you must understand that point. They used to see him physically. They used to know he was approaching, and that's why they could go and hide. If it was not a physical thing, they wouldn't go hiding. I'm not bringing an issue here. So in the same manner, other spiritual beings used to come, and I believe that the serpent that came appeared, like the Bible says, like an angel of light. And he could not distinguish. She could not distinguish one from the other. And she began to talk. He began to talk with her. And I said to us last time, that's the only thing Satan can do. He can tempt. He cannot force you to do anything. He cannot deliberately. He can't just make up his mind, and ruin your life. Satan cannot just come and say, "I'm going to spoil your business. I'm going to spoil your career." The only thing he can do is to tempt you. All right? That he comes with suggestions. Let's do it like this. Has God really said that thou shalt not eat this? And you know, those talks continue till today. You know, say, is this what they say you shouldn't do as a Christian? All right? As a Christian, you shouldn't do this, you know? And he said, yes, so. He said, don't worry. If you do it, you will make it faster. Let me say to you, Satan is a very good businessman. He's astute. Are you getting my point? Yes, he knows what he's doing. That is, if he offers you something, you stand to lose more than you are going to gain. Don't ever forget that. If Satan offers you something, what you are going to give to him is his business. No, think about it now. All right? If you're a businessman, what do you think? You understand? So by offering somebody something, what he's going to give back to you is more than what you're expending. That's why it's called profit. You have to make some profit. So when Satan comes to you and says, you know, starts giving, like we see in the story of the garden, start manipulating, what he's taking from you is more than what he's giving to you. You know, I was reading a book a few days, that was, I think, yesterday and this morning, and the man said something that I've always believed. Very, very true. He said that any freedom, listen to this, any freedom that you get in life that is not in Christ Jesus is a manipulation of the devil to put you into another kind of bondage. That any freedom you get in this life that is not a manifestation of the presence of Christ in your life, that Jesus is not the one that set into that freedom, that what Satan is doing is just to manipulate you and put you into another level of bondage. And I've seen it again and again. You know, I told the story once of one man who was going to one of these churches where they used to be DBs and babalawos, but then they now decided to wear garments, all right, so as to be able to reach modern men. And they go there, and people think they are going to church. They are not going to church. They are going to a shrine that meets in a modern building. That's the fact. They use the name of Jesus to deceive people. The sons of Sceva tried it. This man, they told him. Now, I need to make this clear to us so that, you know, I keep on saying this again and again, but I think it's because the problem is serious out there. The problem is serious. I said it last time. When you make yourself disciples indeed, are you getting my point? That is when you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. These days, people don't like to study to know the truth. They want quick results without following God persistently. Now, that particular story I'm telling you, the man was a rich man, I mean, at least from my own level that time, he was quite well to do. When very few Nigerians could think about buying cars in the heat that was around early 90s, things were much more difficult financially, generally in the country than they are right now. The man was buying his cars brand new. He had a big house, a duplex in Surulere. He wasn't staying there. He said now he has found freedom. And what is the freedom that he found? He now sleeps in the church. Before that, people were pursuing him in his dream, maybe. Witches were chasing him, maybe, I don't know. Whatever problems he had, he came to that church, they prayed for him, he became free, he said. But the condition of his freedom is that he must come and be sleeping on the pew in church. I don't know what I heard I said. You know what they call a pew? Not this nice plastic chairs. I mean, yes. Imagine this kind of pulpit here. I say, I put it down. I say, that's where you're going to sleep. He now give you one white cloth to be covering yourself. Deception. What did I call it? Deception. The man had left one kind of bondage and has entered into another one. Of course, I don't have to tell you where all his money is going to. Do I need to tell you that? I mean, you should be able to work that one out. He has to submit his salary to the prophet. The prophet will tell him the one he can eat and the one he can't eat. So I was reading that book. That man said, listen, any freedom you achieve outside Christ Jesus is manipulation. That Satan is trying to manipulate you. Let's get back to it. So you see, Eve was manipulated, but the Bible says that she was deceived. That is, she did not know what she was doing. Now that was important because, you see, if you are deceived, God shows a different kind of mercy. All right? Mercy is quite abundant when you do something in ignorance. Paul said that I persecuted the church, but I received mercy because I did those things in ignorance. Are you getting my point? The Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Now, what happened was Satan only used Eve to get into Adam. Now, listen, that's just the way it is. Satan used Eve to get to Adam. Satan knew that Eve was deceived, and that was not where he was going. The Bible says Adam was not deceived. And the consequence of that, let's read it again, Romans chapter 5. Quickly, let's start from there. The book of Romans chapter 5. That was the consequence of that deception. All right, from verse 12. Now, this was a consequence of course, we're not reading the story of Genesis because we all know it very well. I just want to refer to it, all right, as I speak. Eve, you know the story. She ate the fruit, and then she gave it to her husband. And when Paul was going to comment on that later, he said that that the woman was deceived, but the man was not deceived. And then as a consequence of course, when they gave it to Adam, what that means simply is that Adam knew what he was doing. He did not believe the lie that Satan told, that if you eat this, you will become wise. It was Eve that believed that. Adam did not believe it. The sin that Adam committed was very, very grievous. It was you knew what to do, and you deliberately did the opposite. Now, people have said many reasons why he did that. Some people have said it was pure foolishness. Some people have taken it higher, that he saw it as the only way to have his wife redeemed. I don't know. That what his own was, that it was the principle of identification. This woman has fallen into sin. Let me join her. And then, together, we'll try and come out, all right? And hopefully, we obtain the mercy of God. I don't know which one of them is correct. The important thing is that what he did was a sin that could not be atoned simply by "I'm sorry." It was not a sin that could simply be atoned for by "don't do it again." The sin was grievous. And the Bible says like this, Acts chapter 12. It said, therefore, that's Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, please notice that sin entered into the world because one man sinned. And then, now that was the introduction of sin into the world. Before that, it was not in the world. It was somewhere else. It came in, Satan came to instigate the arrival of sin. Now, when sin entered, what followed it closely is what the Bible calls death. And I want to talk about death again today. I talk about it once in a while. What followed sin is death. And that death began to spread to all men because men also began to sin. You will see something if you read further down. You will find out that disobedience, in verse 19, he said, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Now, sin is disobedience. If God says do something one way and you do it another way, that is what sin is. There are two types of sin. I won't discuss that in details. Like I said earlier, that Eve sinned, but not deliberately. What I mean is that she was not deliberately disobeying a commandment, being fully aware of the consequences. She was deceived, but it was still sin. Are you getting my point? But Adam was not deceived like that. His own was deliberate. And because it was the head, now you must understand this. When the head, if in the house everybody is misbehaving, the head of the home does not join in their misbehavior. He is a very powerful intercessor for the people. Are you getting my point? Yes, he's a very, very powerful intercessor. He can take charge in such a manner that the consequences of the sins of the people will be minimized. He can pray for the people. You understand my point? Like I say all the time about the nation. If you are in a country and there are homosexuals there, it's a bad thing, but it's not too much of a problem. If there are all kinds of sinners, it's a bad thing, but it's not too much of a problem. But when you know his country is about to be destroyed, is when they start making laws that say a wrong thing is right. Do you get my point? Like, you see, the problem America is having right now, which, like Lot, the Bible says that the righteous people there are being punished. That is, their consciences are disturbed day and night. Americans stood up one day through the Supreme Court, said you can abort your baby if you want. Doesn't matter. That one stood. Now, I don't know, they have not delivered the judgment. They are trying to say that homosexuals can marry and it is right. Now listen, if everybody is doing it, it's a problem. But when the country, because the head of a country is a government, when the country, the law, now says that it is right, then judgment is about to fall. Are you getting what I'm going to explain there? It's very serious. Judgment is about to fall. Now, in Adam's case, he was the head of the creation. So his sin, now listen to this, his sin allowed Satan to come into the world. No, let me put it like this. His disobedience was sin. That was when the principle of sin entered into the earth. And because he was the head of the creation, he opened the door. He was a doorkeeper, essentially. So he opened the door and sin came in. Now, you must understand these spiritual things are real. Demons came in. This is what I believe. Before that, they could not come in. Are you getting my point? They couldn't. The door was shut against them. So you must understand the way spiritual things work. You say, but Satan was there. Satan was there, let me use the expression, physically, but he didn't have power in that place. He couldn't bring anybody in with him. He could only come, he was allowed to do that. We know he used to go into even the presence of God. And the other angels, oftentimes they don't even recognize that he's there. And that's a matter of fact. How do I know? Go and read the book of Job. He said, the sons of God came to present themselves, and Satan also came amongst them. That is, I don't know the name of angels. Let's just assume there's one angel called John Bull. You understand my point? So John Bull is in front. You understand my point? And then, assume another one is called Namdi. Namdi is behind. In between the two of them, Satan is standing. And neither John Bull nor Namdi realized that is Satan. And they were just passing and just mingling with the other people. And that's how he goes around to and fro. The Lord asked him, where are you coming from? I'm going to and fro. And God allows that. So he went in there because, you see, God, you know, if you read my article, The Love of God, let me emphasize this. Many people, they don't love God. They use God. You understand? But God wants to be loved. God doesn't want people who obey him who can't disobey him. You must understand what I'm going to explain. He wants you to be able to disobey but refuse to disobey. That's what is called love. Yes. That is, you have the right to disobey, but you choose deliberately that I will not disobey. I am going to obey. Then you are indeed a lover of God. You love righteousness. You love it. Nobody can be said to love righteousness who has no opportunity for wickedness. That's why I told you before. Some people said that they don't want to go to hell. They now go and move into a cave. They go to hell faster. Yes, because there's no... Listen, you must understand. You're not even making any choice to please God. Nobody comes to try and bribe you. So we have never rejected a bribe. It is when they have to... Do you understand my point? You run away. Instead of you to develop your spirit so that in the face of adversity... I mean, Jesus was tempted. Satan came and said, look at everything I'm going to give you. It is in the furnace of affliction, such times of trials, that God separates the men from the boys. Do you understand my point? So that's why God allows Satan into the garden. Let's see whether these people will really, really make the choice to serve me. I'm making an issue here. When Adam did what he did, which we all know, Satan now had a road into the place. Now, you see what Jesus said once when he was talking about a demon that is cast out. He said when he comes back, he comes in with seven spirits more wicked than himself. This is what I believe. Satan went out and went and got other spirits. None of them was more wicked than him, but at least they were friendly, you know, to him. They all came and started harassing mankind. Why do I say that? Because, you see, this man, Charles Finney. Yes. Charles Finney is of the school of thought, which I agree with. All right? He says that he doesn't believe that Adam's sin makes you a sinner. He doesn't believe it. And after reading him and reading everybody's own, I agree with him. He says that what Adam's sin did, he didn't use this way. Just now I'm explaining it, I'm connecting what he said. He said that Adam's sin allowed his descendants to be under the influence of great temptation. And you see the one thing that Paul said there. He said, through one man's disobedience, sin, verse 12, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, that's what I'm trying to say, and death spread to all men. Why? Read it loud. I can't hear you. Because what? Yes. It was because they sinned. Are you getting my point? That is, they had to do the act of sinning themselves, both in their hearts and physically, for the death to spread. I'll explain that again in a moment. Because when people talk about ancestral curses, I've been telling you again and again, watch out for ancestral behaviors. Are you getting my point? If they say in our family, nobody ever makes money, go and check in your family. They are all bad accountants. Go and check your family. They are all very lazy. They all believe that government, are you getting my point? He will supply all their needs. So when Satan wants to keep that family in bondage, he keeps on telling them lies. He sees them in beer palace with jobless people like themselves, blaming the government. What is wrong with Good Luck Jonathan? What is wrong with Payim? Ayim, Payos, Ayim. No, not Payim. Why did I call him Payim? I saw him on TV yesterday. That's how maybe I remember him now. You know, what is wrong with the governors? What is wrong? And you see them morning, afternoon, and night. No one says, where is God my maker? Then they go to the office. Why are you stealing? The politicians are stealing more than me. So that makes it justified for me to be a thief. What they don't realize, you must understand this. That is how Satan keeps them in bondage. Don't ever forget that. That is how Satan keeps them in bondage. Tell our family, no woman ever stays more than 15 years in the husband's house. Go and check how all the women there behave. Go and check it. I've told you, generational curses require generational misbehavior. You understand my point? They require generational bad habits. You find generational unforgiveness. They say in our family, we know they forgive, we know they forget. If my grandfather was like that, there was one man he'd be bragging on iniquity. And there's a problem with God's judgment. It doesn't come only upon those who do things. It also comes upon those who take pleasure in them that do it. That is, if you don't do it, but you say, yes, it's good to be done, you're a sinner. That is why I said, if God is sharing out judgment, Barack Obama is in front. Before any homosexual in America, he will collect his own. Because not only those who do them experience God's judgment, but those who take pleasure in them that do those things. So what am I going to explain here? Charles Finney said that Adam's sin, what he did was that he opened the door So every demon of temptation walked into the earth because of Adam's sin. They had thought, no, think about it. Where did Cain learn to kill from? I don't know whether I get my point. Listen, this is what I think. Let me tell you something quickly. Demons are real. What did I say? They are not figments of preachers' imaginations. They are real. They are. You know, there's a book I recommend all the time. The Final Quest by Rejoinder. I have found very few books that describe spiritual things like that book. Very few. How did Cain know how to kill? I will tell you. There was one spirit hanging around all this while. Normally, those things, they bear the name of their actions. The name of that spirit is murder. Murder doesn't just jump out and start misbehaving. That spirit of murder, all right, has a very, very good friend and forerunner. It's called jealousy. There's another one, envy. Maybe the same person. There's one called hatred. That normally stands. Jealousy goes first, then hatred follows, then murder is after. And they talk to people. Believe me. They talk to people. Let me explain this to you. They talk to people. Many of the thoughts in your head, they are not your own. Let me say it to you, I'm not joking about it. That is why you need the word of God to help you fine-tune your heart, your reasoning pattern. There's one serious one in Nigeria of today. All right? That demon is called... which word do I use for it now? Let me put it like this. Tribal distrust. It's a demon. I'm not joking about it. In Nigeria of today, it's there. And you hear people talk all the time. I told you my experience. All right? Naturally speaking, I'm from Ondo State. Naturally speaking. But I'm a Christian. That's what's most important to me. You understand? And here I am in Enugu. You come to my department. I am the only person from Western Nigeria. And we are over 100 and something people working there. But you see something. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's something about the word of God, what it does to you. I told there was an issue once in my office. Many of you know what I'm talking about. I'm one of the most senior, in fact, I'm currently the head of the department. I'm one of the most senior people in that place. And we, the consultants, head the place, all right? We're the big lecturers, we head the place. There was a time headship was jumping between two of my colleagues. One is from, I think, Abia, and the other one is from Anambra. Both of them are from Anambra State. So maybe everyone will say, hey, it's going to be the occupational stunt next time. Now lie, it go jump again. And then funny enough, one of the people involved came and said, listen, I told the dean, this is tribalism. I said, listen, there are words you don't use when it comes to me. Because it's a spirit. And I tell the spirit, don't cross, there are areas you don't cross. I told the spirit loudly, there are areas you don't cross. That is why, I make a joke of it all the time. I said, I'm from Ondo State, my wife's from Delta, my children are from Enugu. Yes. No, ask those who know me. All I want from my children is just learn the Nigerian language. Don't speak only English because your parents speak, because we don't speak the same Nigerian language. So we speak only in English language. So they are learning only that. I said, no. For me, it's just learn a Nigerian language. And if you can learn more than three or four, all the better. Bisio Latilo, I don't know how many of you know him. Bisio Latilo is making money from speaking fluently three Nigerian languages and more without any accent. If he speaks Igbo, you think he's an Igbo man. If he speaks Yoruba, forget. There's no accent. He speaks Hausa flawless. For that, he earns millions of naira regularly. Please, I'm going to explain something. Very few thoughts, all right, in people's heads. Please, I can't preach everything now. I'll be only one person. Don't be so. Please, allow Rejoinder to preach some other things to you. Go and buy that book. I don't sell it, so I'm not trying to make money. But go and look for it. It's titled The Final Quest. You will see how spirits operate. They virtually cast a spell over people. Many of the thoughts in people's minds, they are not their own. You see a husband, he's at home. There's one man I know, the spirit of jealousy, and it's in the scripture, there's a spirit called the spirit of jealousy. Always checking the wife's phone. Who is calling you? Who is not calling you? Who was that? I saw you waving at a man on the road the other day. And the woman says, half of the people on the road,
Amen. It's only the other half that are women. Is that not so? So if I wait at anybody, 50% the chance that the person is male. The man, no, he's not satisfied. He looked like the one you waved at 3 weeks ago. Listen, let me tell you the truth. It is a spirit. Oh God, I pray you get my point. It is a spirit. He's talking to the man. He wants to ruin his life. He comes to him. She hasn't come back. And he thinks he's the one thinking them. He does not realize. She has not come back. Every responsible woman is at home. All right? By 7:15. And that's it. The spirit, oh God, the spiritual things are like that. The spirit covers his face. All he can see are the women around him that don't go anywhere. You know, some women are just genetically, environmentally lazy. They don't shift. It is not because they are innocent, just that they know they shift. It's just pointing. See, Mrs. Ajaliko, go down the road. By 6 o'clock, she's at home. Go and check. From 6 a.m., she was there. But he does not notice. Because his spirit is harassing his soul. Disturbing him. That spirit of jealousy. Look. If he enters into a woman too. That is the thing. No? Somebody will just say, ah, good morning, sir. Leave my husband for me. I'm like. All I say is good morning, sir. Your husband is my husband's colleague in the office. The other day, one guy came to me. He wanted to call one of his colleagues. He said, this is serious. That his colleague's wife just called him and said that her husband is accusing her. Now, get my point. Assuming you are, let's assume now, you are a lawyer. You work in a law firm. You have somebody, another lawyer down the road. You know, agree that your guy is friends. Maybe you even went to law school together, stuff like that. And then, assuming one is called Mr. TB. The other one is Mr. Joshua. You understand my point? So, are they laughing? Mrs. TB now calls Mr. Joshua and says, "You, that my husband is accusing me of sleeping with you." So the fellow came to tell me, real story, not a joke, that what is wrong with this guy? I'm really going to. He was looking for his phone. I'm going to call this man. Anyway, I said, relax first. You have to know exactly what happened. I said, maybe he was just angry, just looking for, you know, there are times you want to do something, just pain somebody. You know, that kind of thing. I said, maybe that's what he's doing, that he should relax. Anyway, he came back later and told me. He said, listen, no, I'm not the only one. No. They have been accusing everybody. I said, you see? So, are you still going to call? He said, no need. This is a summary of it. There is a spirit of jealousy that has tabernacled inside him. I know a man that will beat his wife with iron rod. That's not a joke. What do you call iron rod? Why? Because the spirit of jealousy lives with him. What am I describing? That was what Adam did. When he obeyed Satan, sin entered, and that allowed all the spirits to enter into the world. And one major, listen, I told you, as Christians, the fight of faith is a serious fight. I told you then, when that issue I was telling you about, people say, tribalism, I said, listen, there are words I told God from the beginning. Please, it must not stay with me. And let me tell you the truth. I place a curse upon that thing. As anybody who will, because of tribe, deny me my due right, God should injure him. So if you have not been injured, you are not discriminated against me. I'm serious. I just leave it like that. No matter the explanation. And you know, that's my story I've told again and again. You know the truth? It was not true. Are you getting my point? Now, this was an appointment I used to use prayer to reject. And when God answers my prayer, somebody says it's tribalism. It was not tribalism. In all honesty, I have been most loved since I came to Enugu. Why? Because there is a word. When I was in Lagos, when people would say these things, I used to give them one word. And simple. I said, Joseph. Go and read your scriptures. Egyptians hated people like Joseph. When Joseph's brothers came to eat with him, they sat separately. Now, you must get the point. That was how much they despised shepherds. After Joseph became their ruler, when his brothers wanted to eat, go and read your scriptures, they separated the tables because Egyptians wouldn't eat with shepherds. They wouldn't eat with those Hebrews. That's what they called them. But what happened to Joseph? You know the story. He was a favorite fellow in the house of Potiphar. They loved him so much, the handshake crossed the elbow at a point. You know the story of Mrs. Potiphar. And don't think Mrs. Potiphar was the only person that loved Joseph. All these slave girls, they just couldn't imprison him. Everybody in the house, Potiphar himself so loved Joseph that the Bible says the only thing he used to care about was the food that he ate. So I gave that word ahead. When people say, Nigeria is a dangerous country. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? When my younger brother that you wanted to marry, of course, you know the way it is. You go home, people go, they talk here. When they talk, got to my ear, I told my mother, I let you know the summary of it. Because his wife is from Imo State. I said, we're either Christians or we are not. Let everybody know it. You have to be careful. You're like, you know, I see Christians, you want to marry near your village. Your problem don't begin. You never even marry. That is, you're already believing God for troubles. Say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, into my house. I have a wardrobe for you. In the name of Jesus, come. You are begging for troubles. You see, you must understand that you're a Christian. What did I say? Say, I am a Christian. Your thoughts, let's read this one. It's not my main message, but we just have to read it. That's Philippians chapter 4. As a Christian, this is your life. That's what I want to describe. From verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. Now, that true is the word of God. Not every newspaper report. Whatever is right, using God's standard of righteousness. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. It's very important as a Christian. You know, the Rotary Club, they have this, their four-way test. This is a Christian's, how many way test? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is a Christian 8-way test. The thing must be true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellent, and worthy of praise. Say, dwell on those things. Very important. You know why? If you leave this area, demons will talk to you. Oh God. Listen. As a married man, as a woman, the demon you must fight most is that one the Bible calls the accuser of the brethren. This one is called the accuser of the spouse. What did I call it? Everybody hear it and hear it well. You know, that was what killed Micah. Accuser of the spouse was what injured Micah. You can see anything you want to see in anything. I hope you understand that.
Yes.
You know, we went to preach the other day. Me and Yinka went to go and preach somewhere. If you saw me that day, I was wearing a very nice shirt. Very nice shirt. Talking to one very nice pair of trousers. What you won't realize that I forgot my jacket. We're already halfway. I just look and said, Olenka, where's my jacket? I was supposed to wear a suit, though I was not planning to wear a tie. I wore a colorful shirt, so I said, no problem. I'll just put a black jacket on it and, you know, look nice. Halfway through, I looked behind. Yinka was driving. I just said, Olenka, where's my jacket? And I left home. I picked him up from his own home. I said, yeah, I left this in the upstairs at home. He said, should we turn back? I said, turn back. Don't worry. Why do you need to turn back? I said, whatever I wear will be nice. Now I'm the preacher. If I come with shirt and I say, the guy is so humble. Oh, if it's some other preachers now, they will not die. They won't know I forgot my jacket. I say, you can't be going. Turn back for what? When I reach there now, it is going to be, You see, maybe you come in ordinary sandals. I said, you see, some people know how to match. You know, he made the sandal look like, oh my God. One man, if you read this book, God Smuggler, good Christian man, they said, the man used to dress shabbily. So this man, Brother Andrew, when they go out together, he said, ah, please try and dress nicely. And I said, he'll say, ah, what? Nobody knows me here now. Nobody knows me. What does it matter? Nobody knows me. So after a while, he kept quiet. Then one day they went to the place where, near their home, where everybody knew him. He said, God, please dress nice. Ah, what is the issue? Everybody knows me around here. Everybody knows me. Now, I'm bringing an issue. That's the reason I talked about that. David was dancing with all his might. There are different ways to interpret it. Some people are saying, ah, this is our king, my God. See how he loves God. Ah! He loved God so day, you don't know the time when trousers come out as he was dancing. Oh God, may I love you like this. Which was what the rest of Israel thought. And which was actually the truth. He danced so much. By the time he finished, the Bible said he blessed the people. Then he now returned to bless his household. Oh. As a husband, as a wife, be careful. No, as somebody that's under authority of any sort, be careful you don't block when somebody is returning to bless you. Your husband is a preacher, like I am. Long ago, I explained that to my wife. Be careful. If I insult you on the stage, once I come down, don't refer to it. It's against the law of God. Then my husband, when you are preaching, don't be saying that kind of thing about me. Zip your mouth. No, I'm serious. This job is not a joke. I told you one day, in one church, they had disciplinary issues. Then that's a part of our discipline that we flog whoever offends. The pastor was the one that offended. They flogged him. You know, the two boys who were stupid enough to do the job died on the spot. No, they didn't fall sick. They finished there. Two of them coughed, collapsed, bam, they buried them. And that's a Safira type. Not in America, Nigeria here. Listen, you can look at things from any way you want to see it. David, the Bible says, returned to bless his household. And Michal came. You know, she was used to being in the royal household. Her father was a former king, you know that. And what is this boy going to show me? He was still a small boy when I married him. He said, now, so my God, they take dance, eh? When small girls, they. It's called accusation.